You know, there's so much going on in the world today. There's so much going on in the nation and the towns or even around us. But we have to remember that our God is good. Amen. We have to remember that he has a plan and a purpose. And if we seek that out, if we stick to that, we'll be good. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are asking, this is the title of my message today, is where is God? And just so you know, the TVs might not be working today. We're having some, you know how it is with technology. You get every once in a while, they just decides to do what it does, what you don't want it to do, amen. But today's message is called "Where is God?" And you know, this question came to me earlier this week as I was seeking the Lord on some things, and of course the message came afterwards. But you know, there's a lot of people asking, "Where is God?" You know, and this isn't the first time that people have asked this. When things have gone wrong before, people, you know, certainly the disciples, when Jesus was being crucified, even though he had told them what was going to happen, the disciples were they were still wondering, "Where is God? What's going on?" They're wondering what's happening and everything, you know. And as we look around this earth, we see a lot of things happening. You know, we see a lot of unrest, a lot of civil unrest, a lot of, and this isn't the first time America has seen that, but we know, and I'll tell you, it probably isn't the last time that America has seen that. There's a lot of things going on, and the ultimate answer to all of this is, you know, is not, it's not even reform, if that's what a lot of people is calling for. The ultimate answer for this is to get Jesus in people, because when everybody starts following the Lord Jesus Christ, people stop hating one another. You know, the Bible never condones hate and never tells us to hate one another. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite, to love your enemies. And I'll just tell you the truth, that if people would just simply do the word of God, if they would learn the word of God, they would do, there wouldn't be riots, there wouldn't be killings, there wouldn't be, there wouldn't be all these crazy things that we see. But of course, we know that's a perfect world, and it's not necessarily going to be a perfect world until Jesus comes back. But what we have to understand is it can be more perfect than what it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one of the most important things in this time is that Christians act right. We can't start acting wrong. We can't start pulling punches. We can't start standing on our soapboxes, pointing at people, saying, "You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and you're wrong." What I'm talking about is out there. What we need to do is we need to follow the Spirit. We need to learn to follow God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't think that this stuff is happening by accident. What the devil does is he gets somebody distracted by something that will distract them. Now, it could be, you know, it could be black or white. It could be male or female. It could be, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be drawn along any particular lines. But the devil will get people in a weakness in an area. And what he'll do is he'll bring people up in that area. He'll get people offended. He'll get people looking at things, because the ultimate goal of all of this is to cause disunity. The devil is trying to break down the unity of the church, the unity of people. And I'm going to tell you, the first and foremost reason for what we see is the church has been shut down. When the church goes silent, when the church has been quiet, now you say, "Well, we've been preaching right along, we've been there," but it's not been the same. It's not been the same thing, the same presence. Now, I've been telling you for quite a long time that I believe that part of that has been God's will. And I still stand on that. I don't believe that this has changed at all. Listen, just because there's chaos doesn't mean chaos was God's will, but the chaos is a result of people not doing what they're supposed to do. And because the church has not been the church in quite some time, really, because the church has not been what the church is supposed to be, the American church is weak. I'm just going to tell you the truth. The American church is moved by every little thing that comes around along, and that is because they are not solid in the word. They have not stood in the word. We need to be Christians who are solid in the word. And I'm going to tell you, it is more important than ever that you get solid and strong in the word. And let me tell you why. Because this kind of unrest is just the beginning. These kind of pandemics, these kind of viruses, these kind of government overthrows and all these types of things, this is just the beginning of the chaos. The chaos is just starting. These are called the birth pangs, and we know that the birth pangs aren't anything compared to the actual birth itself. That the pains are just leading up to it, and the Bible warns us about these things. But folks, we can be okay. We can be more than okay. We can be solid. We can be strong if we stay the church, if we stay what God has made us to be. Amen? But you need to ask yourself, when you see trouble, when you see chaos going on around you, where is God in all this? And the answer is God isn't in all of this. And this should be our first direction and to the understanding how God works and how God operates. When you remove God from the scene, the more you take God out of a situation, the more hell you're going to have. See, a lot of people don't really understand the concept of God. It, you know, even when we sin, if we sin and we have a lack of God's power in our life, it is not because God is just withdrawing from us and saying, I want nothing to do with them anymore and they can just have it. No, God knows it's a reaction. It's just like a natural reaction that when sin abounds, in a person, it lessens the ability of God to work in their life. And a lot of people don't like to hear that because they like to believe the old religious thinking that God is just all powerful. He can do anything. Well, God is all powerful. God could stop it all right now. But if God were to stop sin, he would have to destroy every single one of us. Yeah, you do realize that. And so God isn't willing that any should perish. He wants as many to come into the body as he can before the end. And that's why God allows chaos, allows the chaos as the result of the inaction or the actions of his people. Now, notice that I said that. Chaos is not God's will. He's given us his word, what his will is, to avoid chaos. But chaos is the result of the inaction or the wrong actions of the people of God. When the church stands strong, nothing can stand against it. They'll throw everything they can at it, but nothing can stand against it. You know, the Bible, Jesus promises that the gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. Amen. That's what Jesus promised. Amen. Now, even when Jesus was here, all those things don't apply to the church today because we have the power of the blood that has been given to us. We have now been set free from a lot of those things that even while Jesus was here, the setting free hadn't happened yet. But we have to understand, and this is why we preach things, you know, people think, well, you preach about cleaning your car and you think, well, Pastor Jeff, why are you running on this stuff? Because chaos in every area of our life can affect us. And we have to recognize, see, we can't get callous to the things that are wrong. Amen? You know, recently we were with some friends of ours in the faith from another area, and we were talking with them, and one of the things that they said to us is they were watching TV, and they were noticing some things on TV that were just not right, that were very wrong. And what they did was, and I thought this was really interesting, but as they were watching it and they saw it, they spoke out against it, and they said, that's not right, that's not of God. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, that's a little bit extreme, but I actually got to thinking about it, and I was right, you know what? Like, you know what? That's right. Because what happens is we get callous to things that we experience over and over and over again. If the first time that you maybe if you're a hunter or something like that, the first time that you have to clean out an animal, we'll say it that way. I was going to say it another way, but we'll say it that way because, you know, it might be hard. That's actually one of the things that's kept me from going that length is because I just don't know if I could do that yet. You know what I mean? And I want to get there, but I just don't know if I can there. But, you know, people who have done it for a long time, it doesn't even bother them. They just get in there, dig in it, and it doesn't bother them at all. You know, what is that? They've become callous to that because they've seen it over and over. They've experienced that over and over. Well, that's how things work in life. You know, whatever it is, you know, it's like you take a mother who's had five kids, and very little is going to rock her. Amen? But you take a new mother with a newborn baby, and she feels like the whole world's falling apart sometimes, you know? And so what is that? The mother that has been there has been callous. So this is part of God's design as well, but it can also be a bad thing if it's used wrong. You remember the devil always manipulates what God has made right or is made as a good thing, and he manipulates it and tries to use it for bad. Amen. And so that's how the devil works. But we don't want to be callous to these things. So what these people I was talking about, these friends of ours, what they would say is they're saying that's not right. They would speak out against that thing right there. You think, well, nobody else hears it. Yeah, but they heard it. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, praise the Lord. But faith comes by hearing it over and over and over again. Glory to God. And so we have to remember this as we do things. Chaos is never of God. Chaos is not acceptable to God. It is not something that God works readily in. This is why I used to be a very, very chaotic person in my life. At times, that chaos still tries to come up in my life. But this is why I work very diligently at doing things that I never did, like cleaning my car or cleaning my house or making my bed, just things like that. Why do I do those little things? Because I'm just trying to make it a habit in my life to not accept chaos. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect in everything, and it doesn't mean I'm going to make the bed every single day. Amen. But what it does mean is that we are recognizing, we're making moves to recognize what's right and what's wrong. Amen. And some people could say, well, that's just little stuff. Well, the Bible says a little foxes spoil the vine. You know, and people can accept it or they cannot accept it. But the truth of the matter is you will see this. Anytime you see chaos, you will see unorder. You will see distress. You will see unrest. You will see instability. You will see all kinds of things. And we're going to see it here in the scripture today too. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. Now, I love this because God throws this in towards the end of the chapter, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. And what do we know about 1 Corinthians 14? 1 Corinthians 14 is a chapter that is devoted to very spiritual things, amen? It talks all about the church order and in tongues and the service and praying in the Spirit and the moves of the Spirit and prophesying and all these kinds of things. So there's all these spiritual things that are talked about in 1 Corinthians 14, amen? And so we go there a lot when we want to know these things because it's a chapter that's pretty much devoted to that. But right here in verse 33, I think there's something that's really, really interesting. And there's a point that needs to be made here, something that we need to see about our Lord. Amen. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Amen. God does not operate in a place of confusion. When you see a place of confusion and unrest and turmoil, it is not God. It means that God has been removed. It means God is not in that place. Praise the Lord. let's see. Yeah, the more people are given to chaos, the less the Lord's presence will be there. When the church is silenced, it becomes a free-for-all in the spirit realm, and people who are not taught to recognize the opposition will embrace it. What do I mean by that? It means they will embrace it. If you are not taught, and that's what you see out there in the world. Why do we see things? Listen, you can never justify riots and looting. You can't ever justify stealing from someone else and destroying someone else's property. Never. You can't ever. There's no justification for it whatsoever. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you know the word, there is never justification for it. Yes, horrible things have happened. Yes, horrible things are going to continue to happen. But you know something? Horrible things are happening all over the world that make this stuff pale in comparison. And I'm not saying that makes this stuff okay. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that the injustices that are found all over the world, there is genocide that happens in places of the world where entire cultures of people are wiped out. We're talking dark-skinned people. We're talking about light-skinned people. It doesn't matter. You know, it wasn't too long ago when the Jews were trying, when there was someone trying to exterminate every Jew that existed. Yeah, that's exactly what they were doing. They were brutally and viciously killing babies. They didn't care about it. This stuff is happening all over the world. It is not surprising that it happens in godless areas, but it shouldn't be happening in a God-filled area. And if it is happening in an area that previously was God-filled, you got to ask yourself, is God still there? And I'm gonna answer. We're in definite in danger of not having God there. See, you have to understand something about this country. This country was a blessing of the Lord. Regardless of what the left wing wants to say or nutso people want to say about it, this country is a blessing of the Lord. It was created. That doesn't mean that everything that was ever done here was perfect. But if you've noticed in the last few years especially, everything about this country has been under attack. Well, it was stolen from somebody. All these people will sit here in this country and say it was stolen from other people. Yeah, people will say stuff like that. I'm not trying to get political, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. The people that were here before, they stole it from people too. Because that's what people do. That's what people have done all through history. Yeah, you think that one tribe of Indian didn't try to take it from another? That's what they did here. It wasn't just all these peaceful people living in harmony in the land, and nobody had any borders and stuff like that. It wasn't that way. They were taking it. There was one tribe warring against another tribe. Guess what? In Africa, for thousands of years, it's been the same thing. One tribe. They're all the same color. They're not our color, most of our color, I should say, but they're all kinds of dark-skinned people against dark-skinned people. The point that I'm trying to make is hate is not a color-related thing. Hate is a thing that is across humanity because the devil is in it. When you recognize, see, the one thing I love about Christ is you can put a very, very black person and a very, very white person next to each other, and there's no difference between them. The thing that bonds them is Christ. That we can look at somebody. You know, I use this example. I've been using lately often. You know, Reverend Tony Jones in the Jamestown Church. Many of you know or have seen him or have talked to him or have heard him or seen him in the service before. I've bonded with him over the last, since they came, I started bonding with him. And he became kind of a father figure in my life to the point where I actually call him dad. What I love about that is, him, we can literally sit, and he calls me son. I mean, he kisses me. One day he kissed me on the cheek. I remember when he first did it, the first time he did it, he kissed me on the cheek when we were saying goodbye. And he said, "I hope you don't mind that." He said, "But I kiss all my sons." I'm just telling you, it melted my heart. But that's what I love about Christ, is that there's no, it doesn't matter what background you come from. It doesn't matter what color, what race. It doesn't matter anything. It doesn't matter what level of society you're in, that God is the equalizer among us all. And that's why we need to bring God back into this country. Why was I saying these things about the country? Because everybody is trying to tear apart this country, trying to make it be something that it really isn't. Yes, there was racist people in this country when they founded this country. Yes, people had slaves. People all over the world had slaves. I am not justifying it, and I am not saying it's okay. Slavery is never okay. To enslave someone else is a horrible, terrible thing. But I'm just trying to make the point that it wasn't just white people that did it. It was all people that did it. All people have had slaves. And so what you see in this is that we can't focus in one area and just get so bent on one thing and tear apart something that's good just because of that. But what that is the division of the devil is trying to get into this nation, trying to get into this, trying to destroy what God has been building here. And it's working. And what do I mean by that? It's working because people have fallen victim to it. All of a sudden, you have one color hating another color again. How did we put? I mean, didn't the civil unrest of the mid of the last century, didn't that teach us something? When segregation ended, I understand that not everything ended right away. I understand there's still people out there that are racist and biased and all kinds of things. But I mean, let's just if somebody is, praise God, I just thought of something that was real funny. I'm not going to say it, but. If somebody's racist, they're dumb. I mean, that's just what it is. If you hate somebody just because of the way they look, that is a really stupid way of hating someone. Amen? It's just like why would you? I mean, there's no sense in it whatsoever. Yes, there are people that still do that. And I'm not saying that there are things that are out of order. Of course there is. But that's why we have laws and stuff like that. But what we need as Christians to focus on is I didn't even plan on talking about all this. I don't know how I got on this. But what we need to focus on is Christ. We need to focus on the love aspect. We need to focus on that. And when we jump into the divisions, when we jump into the taking sides, what we are doing, right? And that's the only side I'm really taking is the side of God. What we're doing is we're jumping into that division and we're perpetuating that. We're pushing that forward and we're saying, we're saying that the things that Christ said doesn't matter. Because he said in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek. What was he saying? There's no separation between the two. Amen? They're the same thing. Glory to God. When the church is silenced, it becomes a free-for-all in the spirit realm. We have to recognize that, and we have to recognize things as the church, as Christians. We need to recognize things that are not of God. Yeah. Division, divisiveness, anything that causes separation of good things is never of God. Never. I said it's never of God. Praise the Lord. Anything that causes unrest, anything that causes upset, anything, that's not of God. God is a God of peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that we are to test the spirits to see whether or not they are of God. But see, a lot of people don't even understand what that means. They think if they get a thought, if they get angered or something like that, listen, I get angered at things too when I see them. But that doesn't mean we just react on them. Jesus said to be angry, but don't sin. In other words, you can be angry or get angry. That's an emotion that God actually gave you. And there is a righteous use for anger. But you can get angry and run with it and enter into sin. And that is not the plan of God. We need to stay out of that. We need to stay on the peace side of things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what would do a lot better than protesting is praying. But where were people doing that? Praying for, how about praying for the people that hate you, just like Jesus said? Because that didn't apply to just one color, one race, or one whatever. That applied to everybody. How about that? Instead of running your mouth about somebody that's done something against you, how about praying for them? How about praying God's blessing on them? Oh, ouch, hallelujah. Can you really do that? Should you really do it? I don't want to do it. Of course you don't want to do that. Who wants to pray for their enemies? It doesn't matter if you want to do it. Jesus said to do it. Amen. And Jesus always knew what was right. He always knew the road to choose. He always knew the right way to go. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Genesis 1:2, I don't want you to turn there. You're not going to look at it up here either. Just listen, write it down, and read it later. Praise the Lord. But we're familiar with these scriptures. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then right immediately after that scripture, we get into all the, and then God said, and God said. And what essentially was that? That was God cleaning house. Yeah. Amen. That's all that stuff was. If you really break it down and look at what God was doing in the beginning of Genesis, it was putting things in order. Praise the Lord. That word without form, or the words without form, it literally means formless, confusion, a place of chaos. God's first actions, very first actions on the earth, was to study it and then to put it back into order. He looked at it and started putting it in order. Why do you think the face of the earth, well, the Lord was hovering over the face of the deep? Because he was ordering. He was looking, okay, I'm going to boop, 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 boop like that. And of course, we know he did it with his words. He put things in order with his words, but that was God's plan. As scientists study all of creation, not necessarily from a creation standpoint, but as they study the stars, you know, I'm just perplexed by it. This week I was listening to a guy. He's called a Hebraist. I think is how they say it. He's somebody who has studied the Hebrew language, and he can read it just like we can read English or whatever. And he knows, you know, the different nuances and stuff of it. But he's some highfalutin scientist. I don't know, you know, it's above my pay grade and all that stuff. But he was reading a scripture. The first one I watched, he went through all of Genesis, just kind of gave a narrative of Genesis, what God was doing and how he spoke and how he used different words and stuff. And he just kind of quickly went through that. But then I think it was Psalm 8 that he read. And he read it first in Hebrew, and then he made a joke because, of course, none of us know Hebrew. So he went and he started explaining it. And man, as he was explaining it, it just really lit something up in my spirit. And what he was talking about is how even to a child they declare, they praise the Lord when they look at the heavens and they're in awe. And he was explaining how, you know, you get all this out of the Hebrew apparently. But he was talking about how that, you know, because, you know, we've heard the saying out of the mouth of babes. Well, that's actually found in Psalm 8, you know, and it's talking about how out of the mouth of babes, God's glory is declared, or the strength, you know, and that's what it is because when they look into the heavens, they're just in awe. And the other night, my son, Caleb back there, praise the Lord, Caleb and I were outside the star. It was just one of those star, you know, real starry, clear nights. And we were out back looking at the stars and just being amazed by it all. But, you know, the reason I think about all this is because as the Lord was putting everything together, there's such order to everything. When you look at, you know, the earth is just so big and it's at the right angle. It's tilted at just the right angle, like just like 27 degrees. And if it was at any different angle, that life on earth couldn't exist the way that it is. And that the moon is just a certain size and it's just a certain distance from the earth. And if it was any further away or any closer, life couldn't exist the way that it does. And not even that, but I even heard a thing once that was talking about our placement in the galaxy, that because of how we're placed in the galaxy, we're like one of the few spots where you can actually, with telescopes, can look out and see things that you couldn't see from anywhere else. We have like the best viewing platform in the galaxy to view the galaxy. And this is all stuff to other scientists, but that was all God's design. And you notice just the extreme order in it. And I just love that about our Lord, is that everything with God is extremely ordered. It's like you put everything in its place for its purpose. And God is, of course, much more that way than we are. But why do I bring all this up? Because when you see the chaos, it is a clear sign that God is not in the picture. The need is in that area is an influx of God. What that needs is an ejection of God. Amen. And so whose job is that? In reality, that job is ours. You know, it's so interesting to me. The Lord was showing me this week, but you know, God, the Bible tells us that we've been given the Holy Spirit. The believers, the Holy Spirit has been placed on the inside of us. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit that we're told in John 16 is to convict the world of sin. Think about that. If he's in us, and he's not going to come outside, he's in us, and the job is to convict the world of sin. His job is to convict the world of sin. Listen, the people of the world do not have the Holy Spirit. So he can't convict them unless he has a vessel to do it through. You and I are the vessels to do that. And so when we think about that, our job is much bigger than what we thought it was before. We start seeing, and what does that mean? That you're supposed to go around and point to everyone's sin. That's not what it means. But you're supposed to live your life in such a way that your life is a conviction to those who are living in sin. That when they see you, they're convicted and they need to come to your God. They feel that desire to come to your God. Either that or they hate you so bad that they want to throw you out. Be one of the two things. But that's the will of God, is that the Holy Spirit in us, again, and not being brash, not being chaotic, not being disordered. So what do we, you know, and that's the thing that, praise the Lord. I don't know who was talking about it, because I've heard a lot of things lately. But even as we look out into the world and we see these things, we see chaos, we see looters and rioters. Like, it's easy to sit there and say and scream at the TV and say, that's wrong, that's awful, that's terrible. Yes, it is. But that's not going to change it. It's not going to change it. We need to pray about it. We need to pray for them. We need, Lord, manifest yourself in their lives. Show them the truth. Show them the word. These things are not right, but that doesn't mean that we take a soapbox and a stand against them. Praise the Lord. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying that we can't call wrong wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, our focus, if you notice that the news, I don't care which side you're on, but the news is all focused to one group or the other, basically. And what it's doing to both sides is what? Stirring up. How many times? I woke up this morning, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get on, I'm just going to open Fox News just to see what's happening in the world today. And I've even limited myself to not even reading things anymore, but just opening the app and looking at the headlines to see what's going on. The first headline, I found myself wanting to get out of bed and start screaming. I mean, I was mad. I was fired up. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it wasn't anything that was, it was a simple report of what was happening. It wasn't anything that was biased or anything. It just said, this city and this is what's happening. That's all that it was. So I didn't even have time to get indoctrinated with anything. I know some people don't like, you know, Fox. I said that by accident, because I don't, like, listen, it doesn't matter. They're all biased in some form or another. You have to know that. So we have to be careful how we receive it, especially when you get into is like liberal platforms like Facebook and stuff like that. I'm just going to tell you the truth, because I'm going to tell you something about the places like that. They are silencing truth. They will silence. I give you an example. Family Church Fredonia, they were having an evangelist in one time, and they had put an advertisement for it on their Facebook page, okay? And one of the things it was encouraging people to do is bring people that are sick, people that are in wheelchairs, people that are handicapped. They got flagged by Facebook. Praise the Lord. They got flagged because they said something about handicap in there, and you can't say that. You can't say that the handicapped could walk again. You can't say things like that. So you can't share the truth of the gospel on there. You can say, if you want to say, hey, listen, you can get on there and you can say vile and nasty things against the President of the United States, who I don't care what you think about him, the man deserves respect because he stands in an office that is a respectful office. And just because of that, you have to respect that. You have to give some respect to that. See, that's part of the problem with our world. Honor, out the window. We don't have to, my wife was telling me about this. You don't have to respect teachers anymore. Why? Because they're authority. See what they're doing? The devil's constantly running on authority and saying, don't respect it. Don't respect it. Don't respect. We were talking about, there's been, I have police officers in my family who are not bad police officers, but all of them are under fire right now. There's police officers being killed. There was a black police officer killed just this, a few weeks ago, and you hear nothing about it. Well, what about this man? And there was his family was saying, why is nobody shouting about this? Here is a man who was trying to do good, literally trying to do good, and was killed in the line of duty, and nobody even thinks it. And see, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. Is that like it's so twisted truths that if we just grab onto it. Praise the Lord. If we grab onto it, we'll be deceived. We can't grab onto those things that are being said. It's not wrong to know what's going on, enough to know that we need to pray for it. And then our focus needs to be to pray for those people. Pray for the ones who don't know. And Lord, if my mind, I always try to include this in there. If I'm wrong in an area, then Lord, show me. Direct me, because I don't want to be wrong either. Even if it's something that I don't want to know that I'm wrong in. If, praise the Lord. But we all know how that goes, right? Show me I'm wrong, Lord. That's what I want. I want to be in truth as much as possible. And so we have to do this. We have to be people who are open to the truth. But the reason I brought that up is because what I've seen is so many people get information off social media platforms and they run with it. And it's dangerous. I've seen so many Christians, especially of late, getting their information off of social media and then running with it, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Amen? Because God did not call those things to change the world. All you will do is add to the chaos. And when you add to chaos, what you do is you exempt God from your life. You cut him out of your life. That's what you're doing. God has never removed himself from people's lives. They remove God from their lives. God wants to help everybody. He wants to help you. Praise the Lord. In fact, all the troubles and trials you face in life, God wants to help you through all of those. There is none that God does not want you to get over. And if you have persistently or consistently been in one, that is not God's desire. That is not God's will. But there's some kind of disconnect between you and God. The reason that the clarity of it hasn't come to you yet. I've had things that are going on in my life that aren't even good, and I've known that they're not of God, and I've also known why they're there, and I knew that they were going to be there for a little while, but at least I knew what they were and that they were going to be there. Amen? Praise the Lord. So his first actions on the earth were to clean this up. Let's turn to Matthew 12. And this was, I never thought I would use these scriptures in this place before, but then when the Lord led me here, or for this kind of sermon. And this is what I love about the word. It's a word that's on so, the word in so many areas can be used for so many different areas. Praise God. I hope what you're getting out of this is that the most important thing in life is peace. The most important, is to walk in, integrity, but to walk in peace, God's peace and his rest. God always leads me to rest, and rest doesn't mean just that you sleep. That's a form of rest, but that's a small form of rest. Rest is a place, it's a state of mind. It's a place of being in your life. If things are always chaos in your life, you have to address that. I said, you have to address that. Chaos, listen, if there is chaos in your life, it's not God's will for chaos. And so you have to do the things you have to do to eliminate chaos. Yep. Sometimes those are people. When I say eliminate the chaos, I don't mean go kill people. Right. Got to throw that out there because you never know what people are going to do now. When I say eliminate the chaos, I'm not saying, start shooting at people or something like that. When I say eliminate the chaos, sometimes you have to remove people from your life, even people that you love, even people you care about, because all that it's doing is creating more and more chaos. Chaos begets chaos begets chaos. And if you are at a high level of chaos in your life, it is because it has been begotten. You have let it be begotten. And maybe you've let it because you didn't know, and that's not your fault, but now you know, so now you can change. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. G.I. Joe. Matthew 12:43. Praise the Lord. If you didn't grow up on G.I. Joe, I feel very bad for you. That was like my favorite. That was like my favorite show as a kid. Matthew 12:43. And this, I thought this was really interesting here, so we're gonna get into this. Look what it says. When an unclean spirit, so first of all, the Bible points to spirits and calls them unclean spirits. I love that. Because what do we think of when we think of unclean? It's chaos, right? Remember Pigpen from, was it Charlie Brown? Pigpen? And he always had the cloud of dust around him and it was dirt. Nobody wants to be around that. What is that? It's chaos, right? It's dirt. It's messy. It's not, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you're like, ooh, chaos. You see chaos. Glory to God. It's unkempt. It's unclean. Amen? Unclean spirit goes out of a man. He goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. See, so an unclean spirit, their place is, the desire for their place is in a man or woman. It means mankind. But the Bible says, and Jesus is saying here, that when one is cast out, it goes seeking rest and it finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. This is very important for us to know. If you have been delivered from something, praise the Lord. Whether it's an addiction, whether it's, affliction, just something. The devil will try to bring it back. Do not be surprised. It does not mean that God's power doesn't work. But the devil is coming back to look for his place. Why? Because he's gone out into the world and there's been no rest. There's been, and of course the devils don't have rest anyways, but they find their place to do their bidding in a human. So it says, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. I mean, when I was putting this sermon together, this scripture just kind of, all of a sudden it was just there. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. See, when God comes in, he cleans up the place. Praise the Lord. Ask any of my family members, my close family members, what I was like 20 years ago. Ask my wife what it was like when I tried real hard when my wife met me because I wanted to impress her, but things didn't look so good. You know, my life was chaos. It was a mess. Everything was always disorderly. I had a old Ford F-150 pickup truck, and in the back of it was full of Tim Hortons cups. You know, I would drink a cup and throw it out the window into the back of the truck. Why throw it? I wasn't gonna litter. I wasn't that kind of sin. But I just throw it in the back of the truck. Of course, I'm not gonna tell you what my theory was. Is if I got on the highway, it would clean out the back of the truck. But I lived in a bad place, babe. Glory to God. You know, that's the way it was. We were just in a bad place back then. But chaos, disorder. But when God comes in, he cleans things up, amen? So the devil comes back, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. So what we see here, this is not Jesus saying that if you got clean, well, seven more are coming and they're going to take you over and you're all done. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is if you don't stand guard, if someone doesn't keep their house clean, yeah. See, God will come in and clean it up. Yeah. But if you don't keep it clean, if you don't refuse the disorder, the devil's going to bring disorder back. And when he does, he has a place. See, the devil's goal in all of this, just so you know, is misdirection. Now, I was actually even thinking about doing a magic trick for you, but I decided not because I can do them pretty well, some of them pretty well, but if I screwed up in front of all you, I'd be embarrassed, and I don't want that being online. So I'll just explain it to you. But a magician's trick, one of the most used magician's tricks is misdirection. If you've ever noticed a magician, when they take a coin from one hand and put it in the other hand, and what do they always do when they move something around? They point to it. They look. If they throw something up there, they're gonna look up there. Why? Because when they look up there, you're gonna look up there. And when you look up there, you're misdirected. and see he might be doing something over here, but you're not seeing it because you're looking up there. And that's a commonly used, you know, yeah, sleight of hand is like that. It's all misdirection. And one of the things when I was learning some magic, one of the things that I learned about it is that you always, well, first of all, you always keep things natural looking. So if you're holding a ball in your hand, you don't want anyone to see. If you look like you're grabbing it, then, you know, but if you hold it like this, you can hold a ball like this and nobody even looks at it. But if you point too at the same time, it's just a slight gesture, but it makes people think, well, it's over there. I saw it. I mean, I remember when I first was getting interested in magic, I worked at this restaurant called the Magic Parlor. It was in Lakewood area. And what it was it was a place where they had dinner and they had magicians. And everybody there was a magician. It was like everybody and their brother was a magician. I was just the dishwasher. I was not a magician. Praise the Lord. I had a boss named Lorraine. Lorraine was not a magician either, but she was always in my shoes. That's a story for another time. But she was always just, I was in this place and I got really close with the bartender. Now, I wasn't old enough to drink. I wasn't drinking. He was just a really cool guy. He was actually the guy that hired me. And he was like, kind of just this really cool guy. It was always just, you know, he's a magician. So he's kind of, you know, had that, the magician swagger and stuff. And I was young and impressionable and stuff like that. And so I just thought the dude was cool. And, you know, he would sit there. And I remember one night I was sitting there and he took my, I had a lighter, a Zippo lighter. And he said, oh, let me see that. And he was looking at it. And he was like, oh, that's cool. And he went to give it back to me and it wasn't there. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? And then, So I start, you know, the uncomfortable chuckle, you know, a little bit, but I was impressed with it. And then he pulls it out of somewhere else, and then he holds it, and he throws it up in the air. I saw that thing fly up in the air and disappear. I saw it. At least I thought I did. But see, that's what misdirection does. Misdirection will convince you of something that's not true. He never threw that lighter up in the air. Later, about these magic courses, I asked him how he did. He didn't tell me. But as I explored and learned more about magic tricks, the one thing that I knew is that he never threw it. It never left his hand. In fact, it might not have even been in his hand at that moment to begin with. But the fact is because he had misdirected me and convinced me of something, just by changing things slightly or just by changing my direction, he made me see something that I didn't even see. The devil is doing this all the time. See, what's happening is the devil is getting people all focused on rioters and looters. And meanwhile, he's in the back room working on the churches. He's tearing them apart. He's doing things in Christians. He's like tearing apart their lives. He's breaking things down in the back door while you're all focused in the front yard. And see, that's exactly what all of this is. This is why, you know, this is why news agencies have gotten so good at misdirection. What they do is they start promoting something. My wife just read me something. It was recent, and I don't remember what all the things were. But they said, while you were focused on coronavirus and this, this is what was happening in the background. You never heard about it. What was that? Misdirection. See, there are evil entities out there that are controlling people in this nation. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get everybody, including the church, and the church is swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. Because they're just so distracted by what's going on that they're not seeing what the devil is really doing. And that is dangerous. Amen. That's exactly what a person who's been swept and clean, they're thinking, oh, I'm fine now. Everything's fine. I came in and I got saved. I'll never have any more opposition. Everything is fine. They might not say those exact words, but that's what they live like it. Yeah, because what happens is people get saved and then they don't get in the word. People come in and get saved and they don't get hooked up to church. People come in and get saved and they don't get serious about God. And what is that? That's oh, my house got clean. You're just looking out the window. And the whole time, devil's coming in the back door with seven more of his friends, and they're bigger and badder than he was. And so what's happening is people's lives are getting overtaken by these things, and it's not God's fault. You know, we had one time we had a testimony Sunday here, and I had... I don't know if you remember it, but I read probably about, a dozen or so testimonies, major testimonies of things that had happened in the lives of people in this church. And I'm going to tell you that for months after that, I had vowed I would never have a testimony Sunday ever again. Now, I don't believe that way now. Of course, I changed that thinking because what happened was, I think every single one of those testimonies got attacked. an attack to the place where it was like, it was just like all out war on them. And some people were even saying, they're like, is this stuff even true? Does it even work? And see, what happened is the devil started trying to get me into fear, being afraid to testify the great things that God has done, which is stupid. It's just an attack. It's a misdirection. Because what our job is once we have a testimony, it is our job to hold on to it. When we have a testimony, when we have gotten saved, it's our job to stay saved. It's our job to stay in the will of God is what I'm saying. It's our job. God will keep us as we stay. But when we depart from him, when we leave what God is doing, when we step away from him, then we let down all that we let down all of our testimony. We let down the protection. And God isn't able to just come in and just say, well, you can go against everything that I said. Remember, God doesn't lie. You can go against everything I said to do and you'll still be fine. You can't do that. When you disobey God, hell is on the other side of that. That's what hell is. Hell is literally, you could define hell like this. This is not the actual definition, but this is how you could define it. Hell is simply without God. That's what it is. Hell on earth is without God. If you're having hell on earth, it's without God. If you're having chaos, it's without God. It's the same thing. Praise God. And so we have to know these things. We have to understand these things. If we don't understand these things, we're going to get misdirected by the devil every single time he comes, every single time he knocks. Just know this, that if the devil is causing an uproar over here, it's probably because he's trying to cover something up he's doing somewhere else. So where is God in this? If you look at something and you say God isn't in this, then that is your indication that you need not have a stance there. That you don't have a place there. You know what I mean? That's not your dwelling ground. Why? Because God ain't there. Is God in the midst of the chaos? Absolutely not. Is he in the midst of riots and looting? Absolutely not. So that's not your place. What does that mean? It means that Christians don't go join it. I've seen pastors that have started to, local pastors, praise the Lord for local pastors. But we have local pastors that have started protests. Where is that in Scripture? Listen, I am just as appalled by somebody getting killed as you are. I don't want anybody out there to get killed because the truth of the matter is most people that die don't go to heaven. So if someone's life ends early, that might mean they ended early without the ability to go to heaven, which means they're in hell. I don't want to see anybody, any color, it doesn't matter, dead. I want to see people living, and I want to see them living in the blessings of the Lord. Praise. So how do we do that? We teach people right. You don't lead protests in March saying, well, yes, it's wrong. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to focus on God. When things are bad, we're called to focus on God. When things are in an uproar, we're called to focus on God. When everything looks wrong, we're called to focus on God. Why? Because he's our answer. That stuff isn't our answer. Let me ask you something. Have you ever disagreed with somebody? Have you ever disagreed with somebody's politics? Have you ever disagreed with my politics? Certainly you have. Certainly there are areas in life that you aren't agree. Our agreement on things, natural things, are not going to bind us together. What should bind us together is the truth of Jesus Christ. That God has called us to live as something different than the world. And as much as we embrace the world and live like the world, we reject God. As much as we embrace the things of the earth, we reject what God is doing. You know, and it's so sad, one of the things that have happened is religion got religious. You know, sometime in the past, religion got religious and started putting bondages on people and started controlling people and started saying, you can't do this and you can't do that, and just whittling them down and putting them more and more chains on them. And many of us have experienced them. Many of us here have experienced some kind of religion that put us in such bondage. In fact, I was in a pretty open religion when I grew up in the sense that it was probably more similar to what we are in today, more similar, but not the same. It was more similar to these things growing up, but I still find things from my past that weren't right. I still find them coming up and speaking to me. What do I have to do? I have to deal with those things because that's not the truth of God. Is it the truth of God? We want the truth. That's all we want. We are the people of truth. We need to live in the truth. And so we have to understand that there is a balance between what old religion bondages try to do, and you can't do this and you can't do that, and understand that there are some things that we shouldn't do because all it does is hurt us. Yeah. You know, just because somebody had you in bondage, but they preach some of the same things we preach today, doesn't mean that what we preach today is wrong. The truth of the word is the truth of the word. You can't just live any way you want. You can't just live caution to the wind, throwing caution to the wind, doing whatever you want to do and expect your life to be good. It doesn't work. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to get here. James 3. Go ahead and turn there with me. God wants us helped. He wants us set free. James 3. Go to verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done. If you're wise, this is how you'll act. The meekness of wisdom. Meekness literally means gentleness of spirit. I like that. So let them show with a gentleness of spirit that their works are, or let them show by good conduct that his works are done in the gentleness of spirit of wisdom. Amen? That's so good. You notice that the word always associates with God. It always associated with God. Words like calm, peace, gentle. I am lowly in heart. You know, things like that. He says, take upon you my yoke, because my yoke is easy, my burden. My burden is light. You notice it's always light and easy. It's always kind of like gentle. It's easy. It's restful, peaceful. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He leads me beside green pastures and still waters. Hallelujah. What is that? Gentle, easy. You know, I want to share a scripture with you. It is 1 Peter. I just want to just read it to you. It's 1 Peter 3, this Lord just was dealing with me. I didn't know if it was going to fit in the sermon or not, but just before service, it's 1 Peter 3, verse 3, and it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, in verse 4, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Gentle and quiet, peaceful. This is how God's people are supposed to live. This is God's country. And what I mean by that is this is the country that God set up to do great and wonderful things. God's desire for America is peaceful and gentle. To be the land, the bring me your tired land. You know what I mean? It's that was God's desire in this country. His desire was to show the world God. Amen. And it was through this country. But what's happened is things have gotten corrupted. Things, hate has gotten in there and corrupted things. And again, if you go back through history, hate is not specific to one group or culture. It is all through. I mean, when the Italians first came over, people hated them. When the Irish first came over, people thought they were dirtbags. You know, Jews came over. There's a time when people just, they hated you, wouldn't even hire them or anything. You know, people would desire to kill them and stuff like that. There's all kinds of, you know, this is not new, this kind of hatred. This is the devil trying to wreck what is good. Back to James. But if you have, look at this verse 14, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. What is bitter envy and self-seeking? Bitter envy is when you desire what somebody else has so bad, you don't care about laws, you don't care about rules, you don't care about right or wrong, you just want to get it. Don't we? Tell me you don't see that in America today. I'm not just talking about looters and rioters, I'm talking about in America. This is why you have looters and rioters, because in our society, it has become okay to desire what somebody else has. Doesn't matter how they got it. It doesn't matter that you don't deserve it. You just deserve it because you're human. Have you ever heard a politician saying things like that? You just deserve certain things. You know what you deserve? You deserve Jesus, and without Jesus, you deserve hell. That's what you deserve. And that's what all the people of the earth deserve. Without Jesus, they deserve. We're all in that same boat. The Bible tells us that, in case you don't like it. Praise the Lord. You deserve hell without Jesus. But God didn't give us what he deserved. He gave us Jesus. Jesus was the way out of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So just because you're human doesn't mean that you get anything. But I'll tell you what, if you get faithful to God, if you follow God, then he will take care of you. He will take care of everything. You won't have to worry about the plagues coming to your dwelling. They won't ever show up. Amen? Praise the Lord. Self-seeking in your hearts. Self-seeking. I want this for me. I need this for me. Me, 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 me. We're in a me culture. I deserve this. Me time. I'd tell you this before. I'll tell you it again. I could puke at the word me time. The phrase me time. I hate it. Why? Because when have we been called to meet? I am not saying it's not time good to get personal time once in a while. But to sit there and constantly focus on me time, I'm just going to tell you the truth. And a lot of times we hear it in places, you don't even want me preaching on this soapbox. I'll get my wife up here to preach about it. But we hear it in places we shouldn't hear it. Listen, if you're a parent, you don't get me time anymore. You're a parent. Your me time was given up when you decided to get a baby. That's what children do. Rob me time. We haven't had, my wife and I are just starting to get some me time after all these years. It feels pretty good. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But listen, we raise the kids, and they're starting to be self-sufficient, so we get more and more me time. That's when it comes. People's like what do you think? When you have a baby, like, oh, we love these little babies. But listen, we expect we're going to keep them for a few years, right? We expect we're going to have them for a few years, right? They're not just going to go away after 6 months, right? I love Rachel would tell us about the difference between their two. One liked to sleep, and the current one doesn't. He just doesn't feel the need to sleep in the middle of the night. Well, unfortunately, mom, you know, has to deal with that sometimes. And praise the Lord for mom. Mama's doing it. But listen, if she was just kind of, well, I just need to go have some me time. Well, you're going to give up all that stuff. You know, there's a price to pay. Sometimes there's things, you know, oh, glory. But we have people that, I'm not going to go any further with that, because there's other areas I was going to go, but I'm not going to. Praise the Lord. But I'm not just picking on the mothers. It's with everything, you know. Glory to God. It's I just don't understand people who love being with you. Listen, if you don't love being with your family, then you didn't raise the right family. I'm just telling you the truth. I love being with my family. I'm talking about the ones that I had control over. You know what I mean? Like, I love, but even the other ones, I make it good. I'm going to make it good. That's what I've just decided. Even if somebody's nasty and mean, I'll just make it good. I'll say weird things. That's what I started doing, you know. I got someone in my family who just always likes to be divisive and nasty. You know how I started coming against that? I just started saying weird stuff. That's what I do. I just start being goofy, just a little bit weird. They don't even know what to say. They don't know. Are you serious? They look at me like, are you serious with saying? Yeah. And I just smile. I might not even answer that. Are you serious? I just smile at them. See, you just got to be, you got to learn how to fight things. Praise the Lord. Just getting angry, because what they do is somebody who's divisive, they want you to get riled up and mad. Just look at him, say something weird and goofy. I can't even think about what it was I said, but it was super funny. I thought it was anyways. I had my mom and my wife laughing because they were like, they couldn't believe I just said what I said. What was it I said? We have to figure it out. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just got to learn how to fight things, right? Boy, that'll throw somebody for a loop when you do that. If I think of the example, I'll tell you, because it was just darn good. For where envy and self-seeking exists, look at verse 15. I don't want to skip 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So bitter envy, self-seeking, it does not descend from above. It is earthly, sensual, demonic. Notice demonic is there. For where envy and self-seeking exist, look at this, folks. Confusion and every evil thing are there. Confusion and every evil thing are there. So notice this. Why? Where is God in it? Well, of course, it's bitter envy. It's self-seeking. People, you know, listen, somebody who throws something at somebody else to hurt them that is not attacking them, but somebody who's just doing it to lash out, that's self-seeking. That's bitter envy. That's that riled up in their spirit. That's something that's evil. That's not of God. It's demonic. And so when you see that, you say, where is God? I say, God isn't there. So I don't want to be around it. But that's why you're seeing confusion. That's why you're seeing every evil thing. Amen? But guess what's going to happen? It's not going to slow down the assault. Because like my wife and I were talking, what happens is when you get, again, reflecting back on stupid racist people, if you got somebody who's stupid racist and you start getting a people that they're racist against rioting and looting and stuff like that, do you think that's going to help the matter? No, it's going to make them more dumb. It's going to make them more stupid and more racist. It's not going to help things. See, that's the, it just, evil begets evil, chaos begets chaos. And that's what's happening. Oh, I got to quit. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Listen to this. Willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. We would do good. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, if you want the things that come out of righteousness, you got to sow peace to get it. You got to make peace to get it. If we don't look at the world different, if we don't teach the world different, if we don't be different, then the world is just going to continue going the way that's going. And this country will go to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you right now, this country, the direction that it's going is not good. It's on its way out. And if the church doesn't start being the church, I'm going to give you a prophecy. It's not a real prophecy, but I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. This country will be lost. And no amount of complaining, no amount of guns, no amount of violence, none of it's going to stop it. It will be lost because the only thing that upholds this nation truly is the hand of the Lord. And if the hand of the Lord is removed because the people of God won't do his will, then this country will be gone. So folks, we got to be serious. It's not worried about it, but we got to be serious about our place. I'm going to be different. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be peaceable. I'm going to love people. I'm going to show the truth. Amen. In my life. Glory to God.